I'm Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel here on KFUO Worldwide Christian Radio. And as is our custom on Mondays, we like to take a look at the lessons for the coming Sunday, which just so happens to be the first Sunday in Lent. We hope that you'll be going to an Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent. Many of us were in churches where perhaps the last hymn we sang for Transfiguration Sunday was with Alleluias. And there will be no more Alleluias in a lot of churches until Easter. Readings are from Deuteronomy 26, Romans 10, and Luke 4. Luke 4 is, of course, the famous, well-known temptations of Jesus by the devil in the wilderness. So let's begin by taking a look at them. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I find that really interesting. First of all, is Jesus not always filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, actually, you need to go back to chapter 3 of Luke, where Jesus is baptized. And when he is baptized, what does it say? That the Holy Spirit enters into him. In fact, it's verse 21 of chapter 3. Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice called from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." So, being filled with the Holy Spirit, one would think that the first thing the Holy Spirit would do would be send him to maybe Jerusalem and the temple and start preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. But instead, he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he's tempted for 40 days by the devil. Why? Well, Jesus is the fulfillment of the many prophecies of the Old Testament. And we've already seen how he has begun to fulfill the Israelite experience, only he does it perfectly. Remember, Herod is going to kill all the children in Bethlehem. So an angel tells Joseph to flee to Egypt. And then when they return, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Well, guess what? Israel was able to leave Egypt, the bondage of 400 years. And they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. But of course, they failed in many of the promises that God gave to them. They, first of all, got real angry at God because they were hungry. And so he sent them manna. They were thirsty. They didn't have any meat. And God kept supplying their needs. Jesus is quite similar in being the proper type. That means he is a fulfillment of how Israel failed. It says, verse 1 of Luke chapter 4, "In those days he ate nothing." And afterward, what does it say? When he was hungry. Why is he hungry? He's hungry because he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days, 40 nights. This is similar to Israel in the wilderness. They also were hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Now, why is that such a terrible temptation? Because the devil is trying to move Jesus away from his proper mission. The proper mission meaning that he is to go the way of the cross. That as the Son of God, he is to show himself primarily in suffering and crucifixion, not in making sure that bread is prepared for him ahead of time. Now, what does Jesus do? Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, why is that important? Because what Jesus is doing here is he is actually quoting from the Bible. In fact, in all three temptations, he quotes a portion of the book of Deuteronomy. And that tells us quite a bit about how we too are to overcome the devil. When the devil tempts us, oh yes, we don't hear his voice or anything, but often you may be tempted to do what you know to be a sin. And remember what sin is. Sin is not just disobedience. It also is an act of unbelief in some promise that God has given to us. You see, if you steal something from someone, you are denying the promise that God is going to take care of you like he takes care of the birds in the air and the flowers in the field. So you are actually, when you steal something, saying to God, "I'm going to correct your mistake. You gave this object, what I'm stealing, to the wrong person. It really belongs to me." And so stealing is not just an act of disobedience. It's actually an act of unfaithfulness, not believing a promise. Then the devil takes him up on a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and says to him, "All this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." We're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow during the hymn with Reverend Mark Smith, so I don't want to give it away right now. But the point is Jesus is going to be able to save the whole world. The devil wants him to do it by worshiping him. Which kind of brings us to our reading in Deuteronomy. I don't ever remember reading this with the insight that I had this time when I was reading it, because it says something here that I just hadn't really thought about that much. In Deuteronomy 26, verse 2, Moses is telling the people that though he is not going to be able to enter the promised land, that when they get there, here's what they are to do. You take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord is giving you. Okay, so they are to take fruit or vegetables or grain or whatever from Canaan, because that's the promised land that the Lord is giving to them. But listen to the next part. And put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. That's really critical. To go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. You see, at the Transfiguration, it's very clear that we're not only to listen to Jesus, but we're also to worship where Jesus says we are to worship. And where today are we to worship? We can't go to the Mount of Transfiguration to worship, but we can go to the place that God has set up for worship, which is the Holy Christian Church. In fact, tonight I'll be preaching at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. They're going to be beginning a occasional Monday night service for those who are unable to get to church on Sunday due to work or other reasons. And it's at 6 o'clock tonight, Trinity Orchard Farm. That's out on Highway 94 on the other side of the Missouri River. And 6 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about the Transfiguration. And that's one of the points I'm making in the sermon, that God decides where he is to be worshiped. God decides where he chooses to speak his word. There was a pastor this past week. In fact, it was on Issues Etc. Friday, so you can hear the whole interview by just going to the archive section of issuesetc.org and listening as they talk about a pastor who says that if the Panthers win, then God is going to bring a revival into his church. Well, the Broncos won, which is really interesting. That means, number one, no revival. And number two, the God that this character who said this worships is a God who can't even get his team to win a game. That's really interesting. So, no revival for the Christian church, which means a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money, because that's always behind false teaching. Wealth, prestige, reputation. What I find interesting, of course, is anybody who says that if the Panthers win, there's no doubt that there's going to be a revival, is not speaking the word of God. All you have to do is look up the word Panther in the Bible or Bronco, and guess what? You're going to find neither in the sense of these two football teams. So where did this message come from? It comes from the devil. Every time we are tempted, we are never tempted by God according to James. We're tempted instead by the world, our flesh, and the devil. Have you not had enough experience from the Bible to learn that the devil always tempts by means of lies? Eve, you're going to become just like God if you only take this fruit. Oh, well, I want to be like God. And she takes the fruit and gives to her husband, who is beside her. Boy, they listen to the devil rather than to God. And the devil is a great individual who can misapply the scripture. And when he misapplies the scripture, he is always saying something that sounds pretty good. I mean, to Jesus, oh, hungry? Command this stone to become bread. Oh, you want to come and be ruler over all the earth? I'll give you that authority. It's been delivered to me if you worship me. Well, you see, the wilderness and listening to the devil is not the place that God has chosen to be worshipped. And therefore, when we listen to the devil, we're no longer listening to God. How about the last one? He brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." Now, we know a little bit about this, the pinnacle of the temple, and it probably refers to the corner of the temple colonnade, which overlooked the Kidron Valley. If so, there was a drop there of 100 feet. In fact, there's also a theory that at that time, individuals thought that the Messiah would be seen at the pinnacle of the temple. And that when he would be seen and he would come down, that is who the Messiah is. So what a temptation Jesus could have had. If many people were gathered at the temple and he appears there and then he throws himself down, why wouldn't he get hurt? Because the devil says, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Wow. Talk about a temptation. Jesus knew his mission to come to earth was to die on a cross. That way, he would fulfill the work of the Messiah. How much easier would it be to go to the top of the temple, jump down, and the angels will make sure he doesn't hurt himself, and people will recognize him as the Messiah. But you see, the reason he came to earth wasn't to make it clear to everybody that he was the Messiah. In fact, there's sometimes when people considered him to be the Messiah, and Jesus told him to be quiet. We talked about that a bit. It's called the Messianic Secret. Why would Jesus tell not only the demons, but often people he healed, not to tell anyone about it? Or on the Mount of Transfiguration, to keep quiet until after the resurrection? Because many people had a view of the Messiah that was not biblical. They looked for an earth king, a bread king, somebody who would restore Israel to its former grandeur, somebody who would be able to get rid of all the Romans. And so if the story went around that Jesus is the Messiah, they would not have recognized him as the true Messiah of the Old Testament promises, but rather as this temporal secular Messiah. In fact, that's why one of the temptations was, I'll give you all the temporal worlds if you just bow down and worship me. Now, when he tells him to go to the pinnacle of the temple, throw himself down, and therefore people will recognize that he's the Messiah, do you remember what Jesus says to him? Again, quoting the Bible, Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, I'll tell you how I read that. Who is the devil tempting? He's tempting Jesus. Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I think you can make a good case that Jesus is referring to himself not only as the Lord, but as God. Because that's whom the devil is tempting. Now some people will say, well, actually, if Jesus tries to become the Messiah in some other way, then he's the one tempting the Lord your God, his God. But the fact of the matter is, if you take a look at the other verses that Jesus says, he is clearly showing that he's using verses against the devil. When he says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. He's showing that the devil isn't worshiping the Lord God. And therefore, when he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, he's pointing out that the devil is actually tempting the Lord God, who is none other than Jesus at that point. So what is the basic lesson of these temptations of Jesus? Well, one of the first ones, he was there for 40 days, tempted by the devil. We only have three temptations recorded. It's kind of like, it says the Magi, the wise men, came to Jesus, and there were three gifts. So a lot of people think there were three wise men. The Bible doesn't say that. It's quite possible there were only three, but there could have been more. But only three gifts are mentioned. Similarly here, obviously over 40 days there would have been many temptations. And by the way, at the end of these 40 days, this didn't stop the devil from tempting Jesus further, because he does a number of times. And of course, the greatest temptation is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus could have called down a legion of angels, he tells Peter, and they would have protected him. But he doesn't. Instead, he goes the way of the cross. The main point is, we overcome the devil in a similar way in which Jesus does. Through the power of Jesus, through him indwelling in us, we then can talk about Bible verses that are shown to be contrary to the will of the devil. We can say to somebody who thinks that if the Panthers win, then there's going to be a great revival. No, that's nonsense. That's the word of the devil. Simply because nobody speaking for God should ever say anything that cannot be backed up by Scripture. That's why, for Lutherans, Scripture interprets Scripture. That's not true, by the way, in the Roman Catholic Church, because the Pope and the councils, they can interpret Scripture. And they bring in new things you can't find anywhere in the Bible, like praying to Mary, purgatory, and so forth. Now, we don't believe those are damnable sins, but they certainly go away from the Scripture and therefore put your trust in something else other than the Holy Scripture. The Scripture doesn't take that long to read. You can probably do it in 2 weeks. And that's all we know about God. We don't know anything else except what we find in the Scripture. And therefore, all that a proper worship service is repeating to people back what God has said to us in the Scripture. Everything can be a quotation from Jesus, because Jesus, of course, is the one who speaks in Scripture. That tremendous Emmaus Bible study, where Jesus goes through the Old Testament and points out where he is found again and again and again. I mean, that's really tremendous. So the Scripture is our word. And because of that word, we are able to defeat the devil through the power of Jesus Christ. It is impossible for us to defeat him by ourselves. Now, tomorrow we'll be talking more about that with Pastor Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn assigned for this coming first Sunday in Lent. And there'll be many more Sundays in Lent until we get to Holy Week. Holy Week, by the way, doesn't start with Maundy Thursday. It starts with Palm Sunday, followed by Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then burial in the grave till that Sunday. Now, actually, Holy Week, therefore, one can consider to be 8 days from one Sunday to the next Sunday. And that kind of reminds you of something, doesn't it? 8 days. What was significant about 8 days for the Old Testament people? That is when the males were circumcised on the eighth day. Born on the first day, 8 days later, circumcised. Boy, kind of reminds you of the resurrection. And for us, the new circumcision is baptism. That Pentecost baptism is a form of exorcism. Because the devil is so powerful, you need to have a new heart and a new spirit. As Simeon says, as David says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, that's really what the Scripture is all about, in bringing you to a right relationship with God, not by the power of anything that you have done, but by the power of what Christ has done in you. So the Deuteronomy 26 text, that's really important, verse 2, that we go to the place where the Lord God has chosen to make his name abide. And that place is the Holy Christian Church. Now, the church doesn't necessarily need to be in the sanctuary. For example, there's going to be a chapel service again right after my program at 10 o'clock. That's the place where we can go to hear God. That's the place that God has chosen. Or a family at home when they have a devotion. That's the church also. But primarily, the church is where the Word of God is taught in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly. And that is in oftentimes a church building with a proper pastor who is not telling you his own thoughts or his own myths or his own so-called dreams from God, but rather when he repeats to you the word of God that God has said to him. And it's just not a repeating of the Bible, but it's an applying of it properly, and that's where long gospel comes in. So we can look at the historical details surrounding the temptation of Jesus, but we went further today to show that we too are also under the indictment of being tempted by the devil and sometimes fall into that temptation. But the way around it is to go back to the scriptures, hold on to Jesus, and find there the greatest good news that ever has been told. Again, Trinity Orchard Farm tonight at 6 p.m. We'll be doing a sermon on transfiguration, and we'll be taking a look at what God has to say about the transfiguration and then apply it to your lives. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow with Mark Smith when we look at the hymn assigned for the first Sunday in Lent. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.